How many of us have failed at something at some time? I want to see your hands. Yeah. Everybody should be raising their hands, right? All of us have failed at something at some time. Now, the Bible gives us some examples of that. And the people that were here for Sunday school this morning, we're talking a little bit about Abraham. Remember Abraham? He did a lot of lying. So that was part of his downfall as well. But yet at the end of his life, he was became a friend of God. How about Jacob? You know, he was also a deceiver and a cheat to his brother's birthright. How about those notable missionaries? We have Jonah. How about John Mark? You know, all those guys have failed. But yet, today we're going to talk a little bit about Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, in verse 11, we find Moses, that he already was growing up. 40 years have passed, and he grew up in the palace of Pharaoh. And it said, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out into the brethren and looked upon their burdens, and spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Now, here we find some circumstances surrounding Moses, and we find him defending, here in this case, in verse 13, one of his own people. And we find him that he is he smites this Egyptian and tries to and hides him in the sand. And then the next day, we find in verse 13 that we find him defending other people again. It says, And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, why thou smitest thou thy fellow? And then we find in verse 14 that they gave him the answer, and looking, he was made aware that his sin from the day before was being found out. So we see Moses, he had all this great expectations to be the leader of this country, of his fellow people from Israel. And then we find him in verse 16 defending again once he left. He had to flee because his sin was found out, and he knew that Pharaoh was going after him. And then we find him in verse 16 once again in medium. And then in verse 17 it says, and the shepherds came and drove them away, this ladies. But Moses stood up and held them, and helped them, and watered their flock. So here, in three different occasions, we see Moses defending different types of people. His natural tendency was to do that, to help other people. And then, as you know, the time went by, and we see him going. His ladies come back and tell their priests that Moses had helped them, and that. He was to stay with them, and we find verse 21. It's a sad verse, and it said, "And Moses was content to dwell with the man." Moses was content to dwell with the man. He had great plans. He had great ambitions. He had a great background to do great things for the Lord, and yet we find him here being content and doing something that he was not really interested in doing. Now, question for us today, are we content where we're at? Did we have other plans for our lives? Or are we just content, just like Moses was, to come to a position where, well, okay, that's it. We'll abandon whatever dreams and whatever things that we wanted to do for the Lord and leave him at that. From a prince to a defender of the Hebrews, a murderer, a defender against the shepherds, Egyptians, and finally a shepherd. Moses was a man without a country. Now we fall back into verse in chapter 3. We find here that Moses had given up on his dreams to free his people. He was a good way from home. 40 years now have passed again. And we find this small bush on flames, and his name is being called. And in verse 5, he is asked not to come near. It says, and he said, draw not near hither. Put thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And then we find in verse 6, it says, moreover, he said, I am God, I am the God of thy father Abraham, thy father Isaac, thy father Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, in verse 7 through 9, we find God is attentive to the needs of his people. And in these two verses, he explains to him what Moses already knew, that the people were in affliction. The people were being, the taskmasters were being hard on them, and everything else. And Moses obviously was paying attention and going, yes, yes, that's exactly what I knew that already. And God was telling him of what his own people were going through. Now, everything was going going fine. In verse 9, it says, now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherein their Egyptians oppress them. Now, verse 10 comes up and says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Wait a minute here. You know, I'm all in agreement with what's happening over there, but you're asking me to go? So we find God here asking Moses to go. And he's asking, thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, the next few verses, and this is the main thing that we want to look at here. Moses obviously was in no mood to go back to the place where he had failed before. And Moses here was objecting to God's calling, and God is obviously reassuring him. But here we're going to find five different excuses that Moses came up not to serve the Lord. Of course, we cannot come up with any excuses, but these are Moses' excuses, okay? So let's pay attention, because these are Moses' excuses. Of course, they would not be our excuses. These are Moses' excuses, okay? And we're going to look at them. And please, don't try to relate them to your excuses, because, you know, we don't have excuses, right? So these are just Moses' excuses, and that's how we're going to deal with them at this point. So in verse 11, it says, here's the first excuse. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? That's his first excuse. I'm not adequate. I am nobody. None of us have used that excuse before, right? No. I am not adequate. I am nobody. That's what he was saying to God. Now, God's choice is sometimes when he chooses his people to serve him, sometimes they're probably not the people that we would choose. Now, let me give you an example. How many of us would have chosen Jonah to be the person to go to Nineveh to go and preach to them? None of us. Why? Moses hated those people. He could not stand the sight of them. And for him to go over there, remember what he did? God told him, go to Nineveh. Sure, I will. Going that way. As far as he could, the other way. And that was God's choice. God's servant was him. We can think of other people. How about Gideon? You know, he was supposed to free his people from this oppressors, but yet we find him hiding. The angel of the Lord had to look for him, and he found him hiding. And this was our great deliverer. How about Moses? Let's take Moses himself. Here's an 80-year-old man. Last 40 years, he's not been even in contact with society. He's been out to pasture. He's been with the sheep. As a matter of fact, in 40 years, he's not even been able to gather enough money to move away from his father-in-law. He's still living with his father-in-law. Now, would that be the guy that you guys would choose to go free the people, his people? No. But yet, that was God's choice. That was God's choice. Now, let's remember a little bit who Moses was. He was an Israelite trained in Pharaoh's palace. So he didn't have background. Moses knew the language. He knew the culture. He was the most qualified one. Now, it's interesting that the question of Moses is, who am I? I am not adequate. I am nobody. But we find God's answer in verse 12 that he does not even address who Moses was, but God addresses who he was. In verse 12, we find, and he said, this is God, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I sent thee. When thou hast brought forth thy people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now God's response, he did not even address who Moses was. He addressed who he was. Our lesson for today is success in our ministry or in our life does not depend on our own ability, but it depends on the one who gives us the ability. It depends on God, not on us, not on our own personal ability. We're going to see a little bit more about that later. Second excuse we find in verse 12 and verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me out unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? This other excuse, I don't know what to say to them. I don't know enough. I don't have all the answers. Here we find Moses that was afraid that they were going to ask him a question that he would not know. He was probably afraid that they're going to ask him, well, did Adam had a belly button or not? You know, that's a tough question to answer. You know, were there dinosaurs or not in Noah's Ark? We just went to the Creation Museum. We had a great time over there. We learned a lot about that, and boy, there was dinosaurs in Noah's Ark. Incredible. You know, God put that there. But Moses here was afraid that they were going to ask him a question that he did not know the answer to. Now, have we experienced fear in our life not to talk to somebody because we're afraid of what they might ask us? What might our response be? It's interesting what God responds to Moses here in verse 14. And God said to him, to Moses, I am that I am. I am who I am. I exist because I exist. He was telling Moses here that the very characters of the Hebrew here spell out the word Yahweh. And the God Yahweh is the most intimate God of Israel. Then in verse 16, he gives him clear instructions from God to Moses of reassurance in his life. Now, God went on to give Moses two promises, one that the elders were going to listen to him, the other one that Pharaoh was going to listen to. So God here is answering that he will give us the answer. The other excuse we find in chapter 4 and verse 1, we have seen that, who am I? I'm not adequate. Then I don't know what to say. And chapter 4 and verse 1, we find, what if they don't believe me? And then Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. Now here we find Moses shows how deeply he fears ridicule. More than anything else. Perhaps he is deathly afraid of appearing as a silly old man in front of Pharaoh, or in front of his people as well. He says, what if they don't believe me? You know, the what if question is always for those that are people that are worried, aren't they? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if so-and-so says something to me? What if? Boy, we could do a whole world of things of what ifs. Statistics tells us that 92% of the things that we worry about never happen. Never. 92%. Only 8% of the stuff that we worry about are actually the things that actually happen. How much time and effort and energy do we spend worrying about stuff? Wow. I mean, this is a world of worried out there. What if this and that's happening? Now, if you remember years ago, back in the year 2000, you know, people were worried that, you know, that was it. We're not going to have any energy because all the computers were going to go down and everything. How many remember that? Good. How many worried about that? And they see that, and I say, yeah, we all worried about that, right? We did. We were in Uruguay. If the computers went down, it would not be a problem. It would not be a problem. We're just calm, cool, and collective over there. But I know people were worried here. Recently, false teachers have been saying that the world was coming to come to an end. There's a lot of people worried about that as well. I mean, we worry about stuff. But here, Moses, he was worried about that. What if this? What if that? Now, the next verses, God gives a response to him. He equips him, gives him a staff that transforms itself into a snake, puts his hand into his pocket, and then comes out leprosy, puts it back in, and then comes and clean, water that turns into blood. God was equipping his servant. Now, let me ask you this. Does God equip us for our task at hand? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Through circumstances, through people, through life, God is the one that equips us for the task that he has called us. But yet we find Moses here in the what if stage. What if this and this happens? Things can happen. But God is in control. Nothing happens by chance that God is surprised. Do you think God is surprised that when things come into our lives, they say, oh, man, I forgot about that. Oh, that slipped my mind. I didn't know that. Of course he knows everything that happens in our life. He's not surprised. Now, what more could he ask Moses? He had God's promise. He had God's assurance of his own name. And now miraculous credentials for him, but yet he was still coming up with excuses. We find in verse 10, our next excuse. It said, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses was complaining now to God that he was not eloquent, that he was slow of speech. Most of you guys know my brother Bobby. This proves that God is not limited by our limitations on what to do. My brother Bobby, by the age of 13, he already had 13 operations. Most of them were in his leg. A couple of them were in his eyes to correct the vision. He was born with cerebral palsy, which means that his hand motions, his motions itself, were limited, were not well coordinated. But see, for us, as growing up with my brother, we did not see him as a limited person. We used to play soccer all the time. My brother was the goalie. We would have a fence, which would be our gate, and that was our goal, and he would always be there. And of course, anybody knows that if you're playing soccer, well, if you're playing soccer, you are playing soccer. It's not, we're not just going to pass it to him. We're going to slam it in there, you know. So the neighbors would come, and they would be all upset that we were kicking the ball too hard. I guess my brother said, well, listen, he is in the goal. He wants to be goalie. Hey, he's going to put up with it. And he did. He did. You know, that guy, he did not mind. We did not see him as a limitation on him. When he would fall down, all these muscles here, he would do it like a push-up every time that he would fall down. We were trying actually to flip him over and try to, with both hands, try to put both of his hands. He was in the ground, and both hands tried to put him back like this, and we couldn't. You know, the guy was so stinking strong over here. He was just, he was huge. And that was our brother. But we did not see him as limited. He did not see himself as limited. And today he is serving the Lord. He does need a wheelchair to go around, but he is not limited. He did not use that excuse that God is limiting me. But yet us, that are whole, sometimes we find ourselves, you know, with excuses why not to serve the Lord. In this case, we have Moses now saying that he was limited in his ability to speak. Now, if we all remember, who did most of the speaking? When Pharaoh? Moses. Moses. And then we find Moses here running out of excuses. He ran out of so many excuses that we find him in verse 13. I'm sorry. The reply of God, it was, who made your tongue? That was God's reply. Who made your tongue? Don't you think if God wanted Moses to be eloquent, he would have made him eloquent? Don't you think if God would have wanted us to have some type of other gift, he would have given it to us? God made us the way he wanted to make us, with our limitations or what we consider limitations. And yet we can serve the Lord in many aspects. The last excuse that we find in verse 13, it says, and now he said, oh, my Lord, send thee, I pray thee, by thy hand, him whom thou wilt send. In other words, oh, my Lord, please send someone else to do it. In other words, oh, Lord, please send anyone else to do it. You know, anybody but me. He ran out of excuses, and now he doesn't have any more excuses. Just send that guy or that guy. Anybody but me. Then we find the Lord's answer in verse 14 through 17. God agrees to send Aaron with him. We also know that Aaron did not provide to be a good companion for him. Who do you think was the person that when he was receiving the tablets from God that distorted the whole thing of the idol worship? Who do you think that was? Aaron. His companion. The guy was supposed to speak for him. So sometimes be careful what you ask for. God might actually give it to you. And here we finally see into Moses' heart that he did not like the price tag of obedience. He had come to terms with the endless monotony of his humiliating task of caring for the sheep. He was in a vocation where failure, by all practical purpose, was impossible. He could not fail at caring for the sheep. But yet he was afraid to step out in obedience to God. This, for him, presented a risk. Now, Egypt presented for Moses risk. There's a survey taken of a people over 100 years old, and there's five things that they said that they would do differently. Unfortunately, of the five things, I can only remember two. Probably one of them was that they would remember more stuff. You know, probably one of them. Two of them. One of them was that they would take more time to smell the roses. In other words, take more time to enjoy things of life that God has given us. Enjoy the beauty that you guys have around you. How many of you guys been to the old man cave? Oh, man, that is beautiful, isn't it? Wow. I know one of my sons would have rather stayed there and said, man, that guy was really lucky to live there and with all this space down there. But it's beautiful. And every part of the world is beautiful that God created. Very differently, a lot of variety. The country of Uruguay, we don't have the hills that you guys have here. We don't have that, but we do have a great ocean that we can watch and observe. We have a river. Man, that's great. Wonderful stuff. I'm sure in the different countries that you guys come from, there's beauty beyond belief that God has made for us. And we need to enjoy that. The other thing that this over 100 years old guys would say to us was that in life, they would have taken more risks. They would not have played it as safe as they did. They would have taken more risks in life. And see, for Egypt, for Moses, Egypt presented risks. Now, the present with his misery and safe, it did not present with him being with the sheep, it did not present any risk for him at all. But he had to come to grips with the ghosts of the past where he had failed before and go back to there. That presented risk for him. Now, Moses represents as well, doesn't he? In our excuses, why not to serve the Lord? Now, what would be some excuses that we can come up with, apart from the ones that Moses came up with, that we would say, not that we would say, maybe some other people would say, why not serve the Lord? So help me out here. Give me some excuses that other people would say, not that you would say, why not serve the Lord? What would be some excuses? I am.
It's not the right time.
It's not the right time. That's a great excuse. What else? I don't have time. What else? I'm too shy. I'm too?
Bored.
Busy. What else? Yes. I'm not bold enough. Yes.
Language.
The language barrier.
Too young.
Too young. The other one would be?
Too old.
So we have, this is, in less than a minute, how many excuses we came up with? Several of them. I mean, if we really start thinking about it, we can't come up with a lot of them. But yet, when we come before the Lord, and he asks us, why did you not serve me? We'll come up with some great excuse, and God will say, oh, you're right. I didn't even think about that. You know, you're excused from all the stuff that I asked you to do, because that excuse is a great excuse. You think God is going to do that with us? No, he's not. How do you think our excuses are going to be in front of Almighty God, that he knows everything about us? You think those excuses are going to stand before him? The answer is no. They're not going to. A missionary in Central America was taking a visitor through the jungle. When they came to a clearing, there was a river that the only way to cross it was through a pipe. The missionary obviously went through there. He was very agile and he was able to do that. He did that all the time. But this other visitor, he came to the conclusion and he said this: I had come as far as I could safely. If I had to continue, I would have to leave my comfort zone and take a risk. Now, when God brings us to a place where we need to leave our familiarity or comfort zone, we have to push out of our comfort zone and take a risk to reach beyond ourselves. When Queen Elizabeth was crowned in 1952, those of noble blood received an invitation with these words: all excuses set apart. It was unthinkable that someone would have used an excuse to miss the coronation. How much more for us when the King of Kings asks us to go beyond our safety zone and do something for the Lord. Now, in this church, as well as in other places, there are plenty of opportunities to serve. There's Bible studies, there's outreach ministries, there's lots of places that we can serve. Needless to say, going to the field or going back to your country. There's lots of places that we can serve and do things for the Lord. Now, what excuses we're going to come up with not to serve him? I hope we're not like Moses, that came up with all his excuses. And at the end, you know, he had to realize that, hey, these excuses are, they're not good. They're not good. God wants us to serve him. And our excuses are going to be of no use to him. Thank you for your time. Appreciate your prayers for our family. We're going to be going to Appalachian now, and then afterwards back to Pennsylvania. We still need to, we're planning on going back to Uruguay in January. We still need some support to go back. So we do appreciate your prayers for us. We're hoping to start a new church in the city of Montevideo, which is the capital of Uruguay. We do have some prayer cards back there, so you can take them with you. Today, they're free. Normally, we charge $5 for them, but just for you guys today, they're free. All right? Thank you very much.